that you knew where to find me. Oh, I was hungry. You were bread for my soul. I was thirsty, and you gave living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. And sometimes just to speak your name. And sometimes I just want to thank you. Oh, without asking you for anything. And sometimes I lift my hands to you. Oh, and sometimes all I can do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, in Calvary's the reason why. When I think of the love that you've given me, oh, when I think of the price you paid for me, all the trials that I face, how they seem like nothing when compared to that day on Calvary. Oh, and sometimes I just want to praise you. And sometimes just to speak your sweet name. And sometimes I just want to thank you. Oh, without asking you for anything. And sometimes I lift my hands to you. Oh, and sometimes all I can do is cry. Everything that I am, I owe to you. Lord, in Calvary's the reason why. Oh, and sometimes I just want to praise you. And sometimes just to speak your sweet name. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Oh, without asking you for anything. And sometimes I lift my hands to you. Oh, and sometimes all I can do is cry. Everything that I am, I owe to you. Lord, in Calvary's the reason. Why? everything that I am, I owe to you. Lord, at Calvary's the reason, the reason why. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
All right, now in the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, I'm going to speak on or take for a text or starting place, only speaking of those things that have been wrought by me, or were wrought by me, ever how we'll word it there, or that I feel is important to build within this message that God has given. Say, amen. And again, I feel this is very important for this type of message for this time period. And one of the reasons is that this message will be important as we bring it up to date, you know, up to our time, will be this. A lot of the places, churches, and there's hundreds of them, I believe in Uganda alone there is 168 different churches, groups. And they believe in Brother Branham. And that's good. We believe Brother Branham too. But the point is, you go in, they got the spoken word books, and they'll keep referring to something Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said this, or Brother Branham said that, Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said many, many good things that was right and profitable and needful. But many of the things God only let him see so far. That won't fit in this today. And one of the things is that he was an Old Testament type prophet, and the spirit of Elijah was upon him. He came to forerun the coming of the Lord, but most people missed it when he came. Like the Jews, they missed his coming, have we? And most have. But the point being is, Brother Brown would say, the word don't come to nobody but a prophet. And God never had but one prophet on the scene at a time. Well, that was all right for his time period because God was zeroing in on the message. And he made those statements because he knew on down the road he was going to get it all fixed up and straightened out. And he did that in 1970 when we started on our 40-day fast there. In the late 69, it ended it as we was coming in the 70 there. God gave a message, and the message was Brother Brown being an Old Testament type prophet. And we entitled the book, An Old Testament Prophet Come to a New Testament Age. And it was written there in 70. And it clearly showed that was an Old Testament type ministry. That's a New Testament ministry that had a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. See? Amen. And many of the things Brother Brown brought in, for instance, he brought in church order. That you come in, you're not to speak to anybody, and you're not to do those things, you know. And many of the things, and many people are still talking about that. And the reason they are, they don't have a message. And many of them, either they don't know God in the way that they need to know Him, don't know Jesus Christ, or that they are so ignorant that God has moved on to another level in the ministry, see. Amen. And then, there are those, God sent Brother Jackson later on and cleared up many of these things. But then Brother Jackson, he brought in about the seventh seal's not open and so on, and many of the things that he brought so far as God ordained him and left him. But there's people that saying concerning the contender and the things that Brother Jackson wrote and preached that he got thus saith the Lord on it before he wrote anything or had anything wrote, and what he said was absolutely perfect and it won't be changed. Well, it won't be changed, but we're going to go on, see. Amen. How many knows it? Praise God, we're going to go on with God. Amen. And so that is the thought. I want to kind of give you a little preface on what we're going to say and the way we're going, so that as we go along, you won't say, "Well, what's the point of where's he going, or what's he getting at?" That's the basis of what we want to look at, and we want to look at it from the scriptural standpoint, as Paul took and went forth with a message from Almighty God that was for a specific purpose. Now, and as we read this, we're going to see that Peter spoke on certain things, and he brought the truth so far, but he didn't bring it on as far as Paul did. See, Peter spoke of the coming Lord, but he spoke of the coming Lord as he would descend from heaven and start the millennia. That's Acts chapter 3, when he was asked about the coming Lord. He told how it would be, and it will be that way. But there's a secret between his physical coming and there's a rapture to take place. Amen. So we see that God fit Paul's message right in there and showed about the coming Lord by revelation. And then on over in the book of Revelation, John, he raised up John to push it a little further, bring other things. But as it relates to the marriage of the Lamb, Christ and the bride, Paul was the one that brought that revelation, God, and it had to be that he couldn't rely on anything except what God gave him, what God inspired him with. Amen. And seeing we're back to that hour when there's a marriage to take place, we've got to be to the place where we reach and incorporate these other things that God has done and honor them and praise God for them, but we got to see beyond that. Amen. And that's what God's doing now. He's giving a vision beyond that, that our revelation is become as clear as crystal. Praise the Lord. I know that many people debating, and they'll be debating when we're changing a moment, twinkling now, when the rapture takes place, they'll be debating whether the seventh seal's open, whether this took place or whether that, and why John didn't write certain things. Well, Brother Gentry here, he preached a message on what was John about to write. And it clears that up for us, doesn't it? Amen. God has saw to it that we get a clear vision in this hour. The city, her revelation going to be as clear as crystal. See? And God give different ones different jobs for different purposes. But Paul's purpose was to get a people out of the Gentiles to be his bride, to be married to Christ, to introduce the bride to Christ, and he had to keep everything, he had to keep his revelation straight. Now, when he said, "I laid the foundation," but he incorporated some of the things the prophets said, the apostles said, but he did very little quoting. Even he quoted quoted Jesus very little. And he quoted Peter even less, you know. So the point is there a message like that today? Praise God. So let me read my scripture so that I'm going to read, I dealt with this scripture some the other week as planting of the tree of life. So I'm not going to reread about the gospel coming to Gentiles, how God brought it. But I want to pick up with verse 16. Of Romans 15 and praying before reading. Heavenly Father, bless this word. Bless our minds, our hearts, our souls, Lord. And may you give us the enlightened mind, as your word said, let the mind which were also in Jesus Christ be in you. O God, I pray you give us that mind, and also you said casting down imaginations. Lord, I pray that you will help us to cast down all imagination that is contrary to the things of God. Bless us, anoint us, and bless the hearers of the word that they may receive that you're giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm reading verse 16 of Romans 15. It says that I should, here he began to tell the Romans here what he was for, his purpose in life. what his ministry was for. He said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile. Everybody say, to the Gentile. All right, now that's important because we're going to back up and deal with that a little. His message was to the Gentiles, never to the Jews. Amen. So he said, I am... Now, verse 8 over here, we read the other week, and I would read it again today, but I'm not going to get through if I do. Jesus Christ was that minister of circumcision to... was the minister to the circumcised, which were Jews, to confirm the covenant made to the Father. That's verse 8 of this chapter. But here Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile. Watch now. Ministering the gospel of God. Now, if you want to know what the gospel of God is for the Gentiles, it's not something that's so mysterious you can't check it out. Amen. It is obtainable, it's knowable, and it's something that you can give. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of God. Notice that. Ministering God, that the offering up of the Gentiles, now notice those words Gentiles and what his ministry is for, because you can't change that part. Offering up the Gentiles, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Now, you want to be acceptable? Amen. There's a gospel that can make you as a Gentile acceptable to God. See? Amen. Now, a lot of people, wondering about this and wondering about that. But God, he fixed it for us, if we can see it. He took away all of our struggles as to where to look and how to look and what to look for, because we as human beings, somehow, irregardless of how broad-minded we are and what we look at and what we do, to some degree or another, we have a tunnel vision, and I praise God for my tunnel vision, that I can see the Word and the Word only, and I see the Word for this time period. Amen. That's what the bride, she sees him, she got an eye for him and him alone. And he is the Word for this day, for this hour. And Paul said here that this gospel will make you acceptable unto God. Being acceptable unto God, it says in those, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I'll do a comment on this here because of the teaching that in this hour through Pentecost especially, and then on through to Brother Brown's message, and on up, and some still holds it, that we get saved, and that's one experience. Then another experience, we come to the altar and we get pray till we get sanctified, and they say that's second death and distinct work of grace. But then, once you get all that behind you, once you get that in you, once you've gone through those steps, then you can have the Holy Ghost. You can be sanctified. The second work is sanctified. Then you can have all of it, and the Holy Ghost will come into you. That's saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you get through. But here, it says you had to be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And if you can be sanctified without the Holy Ghost, why would you need the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is what sanctifies you. And what is the Holy Ghost? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. How many knows it? Amen. So, Paul's telling the Romans here, because the Roman was strictly Gentile. And he came here and he didn't want them to be confused on what to do, what to believe, where to look, because their very salvation was at stake, and he used the word, by this, you'll be acceptable to God, see. Amen. Now, that's heavy, but it's what he said. Amen. So, my title is Speaking of Those Things. Paul once said, I'm only speaking of those things which were wrought by me. All right, now, I'm going on down. It says, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertaineth to God. In other words, this is unique unto me, these things that I'm going to be saved. and I can glorify God for it. And then verse 18 is what I really going to get my textual thought. So Paul said, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." Praise God. Amen. Now, do you see? I'm not going to spend a lot of time speaking of these other things, because God's given me a specific thing to do, and that's to cause the Gentiles to believe. Amen. And His message never would fit in at Jerusalem. Amen. It never would fit. I want you to hold your place here, because we're going to come right back to this chapter. But I thought of a scripture here that I want us to read in the book of Acts. And this is very important reading that I'm going to do here. It's concerning Paul's message and Paul's conversion after he... Now, this is in Acts chapter 9. He was struck down by light in the... The eighth chapter, ninth chapter, yeah. And he began to relate some of the things. And he was born again, but first and foremost, he wanted to go right to the people he were from. He was a Jew and the church was at Jerusalem. So that would be the natural flow of the stream to go back to Jerusalem. See, that would have been the natural trend of things, because that's where Jesus came, that's where Jesus died, that's where the apostles were at. So that was a natural thing to do when he got converted. If he wanted to get his head on straight, go back to Jerusalem, get his head on straight so he'd know what he was doing. See? So he went up to Jerusalem. And I'll pick up verse 26. We've read the other so much, you know it by heart. But I'll begin Acts 9:26 here. It says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem," his name was later changed to Paul, "he essayed to join himself unto the disciples." He went to have fellowship with them, but he didn't have very good luck doing it, see. He essayed to join himself. That's what I want to do. I want to join myself to the disciples, and I want to be part of this thing that's going on. Because there's a ministry there. There's an apostle named Peter. And things are going good, and that's where I want to go and join in and get my start, see. All right, let's read further. "But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." Amen. They were afraid to mess with him, you know. "Yeah, I heard he got converted. I heard that he that once persecuted preacher. But I tell you, I'm a little afraid here. Afraid of him." All right? Watch. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem." I want you to notice that, "at Jerusalem." Hold that, because here's something going to happen now. "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecian, but they went about to kill him. Which when the brethren knew, they besought him," or they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. See, getting him away from Jerusalem. All right, now watch here. "As soon as they got rid of him," what happened? It says, "then had the churches rest throughout all Judea," that's in the Jerusalem area, Galilee, and even further down the road, Samaria. Notice, then had all the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Now I want you to watch this strictly Jewish church. Now watch, when did this happen? Not until they got rid of Paul. They had to get rid of Paul, get him away from Jerusalem. Now when it says the churches were grew and they in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and multiplied, yes, this was a Jewish church and God was with them 100%. God was at Jerusalem blessing the Jews, taking out of the people there a group of the Jews to rule and reign with Him in the millennia in and around Jerusalem, the Jewish nation. Amen. But God foreseeing and knowing a little more about it than they did, see. But somehow they said, Paul's going to get himself killed. And if it was in our day, they might have said something like this, Paul's going to get his stupid self killed. Let's get him out of here. Amen. I don't know if they would talk that way or not, but I've been around some Jews, and they don't mince words very much. They talk pretty plain. In fact, they almost scare me talking, you know, because that's, I understand they do it. I understand they do it a lot like that. But the point is here was Paul. Gone to Jerusalem. Amen. And he started preaching. Well, not only here now, not only at this particular place, but everywhere he went, if you'll follow him, wherever he went, if I wanted to take the time here to go to the 13th chapter, he went preaching again, went to the synagogue, preaching to the Jews, and they became so angry with him. And they were about to kill him. In fact, there's one place they stoned him, and not the church stoned him here, but the Jewish people. But they stoned him and left him for dead. Amen. And he shook his dust, shook his feet off. There in Acts 13 says, lo, we seeing you have put the word of God from you. This is what he told them. Acts 13, and I've read this a lot of bit. Book of Acts and all these, so I've read the New Testament through, and I'm not saying this in a manner to make you think that I know a lot of Scripture, but I've read the Bible through and through so many times, starting Genesis on through here, that I don't have a count of how many times, just starting going through chapter, verse, but the book of Acts, you can see mine is wore pretty thin, and this is many times that we've read, but you can go everywhere if you follow Paul. Just hitch on to what he done and where he went. And every time he went to the Jews, messed around with them, he could not make things work. Amen. They blasphemed and cast him out of the city. But him and Barnabas, or him and Silas, whichever might have been the case, Acts 13, they shook the dust off their feet and said, your blood be upon your own head. Amen. Said, seeing you've rejected in the 18th chapter 2, so I'm going to combine these two, 18th and 13th, because basically he said the same thing. One place he shook the dust off his feet. One place he said, your blood be upon your head. Lo, I go to the Gentiles, for thus has God ordained me, saying, I'll make thee a light to the Gentiles, and that thou should deliver them from the power of Satan to the power of God. But everywhere he went, he had to shake the dust off his feet. He had to get away. And here in Jerusalem, in Judea, around there, the church had no peace at all. Till they got rid of Paul. When they sent him, I want to read that one again. That's verse 21. Then had the churches, they sent him away to Caesarea, verse 30. But 31 said, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee. Just as soon as they got rid of it. Why didn't they have rest there? Because God didn't want them to have rest. God was working out His plan. He said it ain't going to work till you get rid of Paul because I got him for another purpose. Paul's purpose is not to be here in Jerusalem. Paul's purpose is to go to the Gentiles. That's what I told him when I struck him down on the way to Damascus. But Paul hadn't developed into the ministry, hadn't developed into the things of the Lord, so he went right straight to Jerusalem. And God began to let things go bad, not only for him, but for the churches. Amen. As soon as they got rid of him, then they had peace. They had rest. And then it says, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplying. Amen. So they got rid of Paul. Paul, you're placed not at Jerusalem. They got rid of him. Amen. They didn't kick him out. They loved Paul to a point. I'm sure they didn't understand. They knew it was since he came to town, a lot of trouble's going on. Churches ain't working out good and all. The reason I say this, the Bible don't spell that out in so many words, but the fact that it says the churches had rest, it means there was upheaval. Why? He was injecting something in there. He was telling them from time to time, no doubt God has sent him and told him he'd be a light to the Gentiles. Well, that blew the whole thing out of the water because they said the gospel go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go on, follow the Jewish apostles unto Acts chapter 11. Peter, after God spoke to him, went to Cornelius' house. When he got back to Jerusalem, they really scolded him. And even in the 11th chapter, the Bible says, the apostles went everywhere preaching the gospel to none but the Jews only. How many sees that? They went everywhere preaching the gospel to none. And this was after got rid of Paul, they still wasn't going to preach to nobody but the Jews. And then they had peace because they were preaching the message to their own kind. You've got to be part of a message. If it ain't going to set on your soul just right. Amen. There's something going to feel that this just don't... It sounds good, and I know a lot is good, but it just don't feel right on my soul. Amen. That's kind of the situation was in Jerusalem. And the churches, when Paul would mention the Gentile, they got trouble. And they lost that comfort and that peace. Peter, what's going on here? This fella came into town. He's talking about Gentiles. Didn't the Lord tell you? Didn't the Lord tell each one in Matthew chapter 10 that not to go to the Samaritan, not to go to anybody, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? And here's something being injected into the church. It's got us trouble and it got us all tore up. Amen. And then they sent him away and the churches had peace. They had rest. And they, reading on, they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplying. Yes, they were perfectly in the will of God now. 100%. That Jewish church was 100% in the will of God. You leave them alone. Don't touch them. Amen. But Paul went over, and then if you'll follow his trail, the line of truth, the gospel, he went from here. Soon he landed up over in Corinth, over in Ephesus. He went over to Ephesus and started preaching the word. Amen. Basically to the Jews. As his custom was on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogues because the Sabbath is Saturday. That's the day the Jews had. And every time he got in trouble. Amen. Over that Ephesus, he separated the people out. Amen. He separated the people out. I preached a message called The Separated Disciples Get the Word, because he couldn't preach out here in the synagogue. He had to rent a building Amen. And I didn't make notes on all this, so it's in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. But he rented the building, a school building of one Tyrannus, I believe, and taught him for a year and a half. Why didn't he go in the synagogue? Why didn't he do like the rest of the Jews? Amen. Why didn't he do like Peter and John, go up to the temple at the hour of prayer and tell them all about it? Amen. Paul, it was a little something when his testimony got involved. Then that would throw the whole thing off balance a little bit. Amen. Because he would include the gospel going to Gentiles. He was to take the gospel to Gentiles. He was to be a light to the Gentiles. He was ordained to go to Gentiles. Then it threw it off, threw it out. Peter said, I don't know a thing about this. You mean Paul's preaching something you don't know about? Well, the Lord appeared to him, no doubt, and the Lord blessed him, but let's see if we can't control him here. Amen. Paul went down preaching and go over to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul went over there preaching that word that you didn't have to be circumcised, didn't have to keep the law, and that things Moses brought, a lot of them wasn't something that you had to do to be saved, but those Jews at Jerusalem heard about it. The Bible says, brethren came from Jerusalem, or Judah it said, which were in the Jerusalem area. And they began to go right in the congregation where Paul had been preaching to the Gentiles. And they began to preach to them saints. Paul said, here's some brethren from Jerusalem. Amen. We certainly want to honor them and give them a place to speak to us. The first thing they did, they began to preach, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved. Wow, that was like a firestorm. The whole church was in chaos. And they talked about it and reasoned about it for several days. Then Paul said, let's go up to Jerusalem. We'll see about this thing. And once they got there, the Bible says, after much disputing for many days, they came to a certain conclusion. And that certain conclusion was that the Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised. Amen. You see, you couldn't mix it without causing some upheaval. Amen. If you tried to take what the Jews were preaching and tie it into what Paul was preaching, somehow or another it just didn't jive real good. Understand? So that's why Paul said, I'm only speaking of those things that the Lord brought by me, because this is a message from the Heavenly Father. Amen. This will form Christ in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he told them Jews there, he says, if he got that far, he might not have got that far, what he says in Romans, I am the minister of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And then he said, I am the singular apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Now, you get in one of them Jewish congregations there, it's going to cause disturbance. Amen. How many sees it? And some of the things we're ministering on today, you go in a lot of these churches, well, they ain't going to let you in much, no way. The people claim to believe in Brother Branham. They'll say, quote from this book, quote from that book, quote from this one. Amen, you don't quote, you don't believe the prophet, and all that. Out you go if you get in. Now it's getting so tight you ain't hardly going to get in. And then you go, the people follow Brother Jackson. If you let them know, I don't believe seven men's coming, I believe seven men's already come. You say, I don't believe there's seven thunders of sound, I believe the seven thunders already sounded. Amen. You can't take and build on that for this word, for this last push. You're at the end time. Amen. We're in the last push where you go directly straight to the word. Amen. God will have somebody in this hour. When they sent him away, then had the churches rest. Then they grew. Then they grew and multiplied, and in the fear of the Lord. Yes, because that's what God wanted to do. He was taking out the Jews, a people, to rule and reign with Him. But Paul's message was to take it over the hill to the Gentiles. Push back the frontiers. Go where nobody's ever been. Amen. Go to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Praise God. The 11th. Let's go back now to Romans 15. Then we're not going to hold too awful long today. But if we took it all, we'd just be forever on it. Amen. I want to get my text verse again. Verse 18. And go down from there. All right. I'm back to Romans 15. It says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things." You see why? If you don't follow His journey into Jerusalem and on and getting thrown out of the city, getting beat, amen, and follow Him up to Jerusalem where they said, was disputing for many days before they came and said, "Paul, get out of here. Go on. Them Gentiles, we'll give you this much. The Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to keep law. Go on." But notice he did not one time say they didn't have to be. Come on now. Amen, because that was their custom of life. It still happened today in Israel, see, the Jews. Amen, and many people today. Here's where people get off course. There's certain denominations. A man asked me in the barbershop the other day, because he had a friend, I believe it was Jehovah's Witness or something, or some kind of church, I forgot what it was. He said, "Ben, I know you know the Bible good and all that. Said, I want to ask you a question." He said, "Is Saturday the Sabbath?" Said, "I've got a friend now. He's going to church on Saturday, and he thinks Saturday is the Sabbath." And said, I can't tell him no better." He said, "Is Saturday the Sabbath?" I said, "Yes." He looked funny. That wasn't the answer he was expecting. "Yes, Saturday is the Sabbath. It's the seventh day." He said, "Well, I thought Sunday was." I said, "No, Sunday is the first day of the week. That's when Jesus rose early the first morning, and we come together to worship on Sunday, our Sunday, in honor of the resurrection. We call it, that's the Lord's day for us." Can you say amen? If you're a Gentile, then Sunday is the Lord's day for you. That's the day the Lord raised from the dead. And Paul, they used the scripture. He went, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. Absolutely. Because if he went to preach to them Jews, he had to go on the day they were meeting there. You see what I mean? Amen. But if you all get over there in Corinthians, up on the first day of the week, he said, "Let everyone lay aside as God has blessed them." Amen. So that's the story, the way it goes. Amen. As God has, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Amen. If you can count and got sense enough to get in out of the rain, you know better. That Sunday is the first day of the week. Get your calendar. Amen. It don't go Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Friday and Sunday. No. Amen. So, see why Paul had to, he booked a lot of these things. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible did Peter or any of them tell them, "No, you don't have to worship on." They kept the Sabbath. They still keep it today. That was the gospel going to the brethren. But here was something injected that was far beyond what Peter was preaching when, as it relates to the Gentile. Now, it's not that Paul's message was greater in one sense. It was the people that he was ordained to preach to. How many sees it? Amen. You buck up. You talk against Peter. You're going to displease the Lord. How many knows it? Because Peter was that great apostle, stood up on the day of Pentecost, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." When the gospel came to the Gentiles, it was the same. Repent Amen. But remember our message that we preached in West Virginia last time up. I preached beyond the right hand of fellowship. One of the messages was, what gospel are you born unto? The other, then on Sunday morning I preached, beyond the right hand of fellowship. That's what I'm preaching. This message is beyond the right hand of fellowship. What is beyond the right hand of fellowship? Well, Paul went up to Jerusalem, him and Barnabas. Yeah, by revelation, they were having a big conference. They were all the big shots there and all the dignitaries of the Jewish church and all of them in there that's telling what they knew, what God done by them. Here come old Paul in. He sat down in there and listened for a while. How do I know he listened for a while? The Bible says he wrote, they added nothing unto me but contrariwise. If he hadn't sat down and listened and see what they were talking about and saw what they were doing, he said, they added nothing to me but contrariwise when they saw and when they perceived the gospel of the Gentiles, of the uncircumcised, they said, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcised was to Peter. It says, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. Me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship and said, you go to the heathen. Now don't tell me it's all the same. Amen. The gospel of the saving power of Jesus Christ, the same whether it was to the Jews or to the Gentiles. But God said He would take out the Gentiles, the people, for His name's sake. Amen. Take out the Gentiles, the people, for His name's sake. And the word used, Gentile, not Jews. The Jews are the brethren. They're part of God's economy. They'll rule in and around Jerusalem. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the world in the millennium. How many knows that? Praise God, but Christ takes a Gentile bride just like Joseph did down in Egypt. Hallelujah. It's a secret marriage taking place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The brethren didn't know a thing in the world what was going on down in Egypt. Woo. Amen. Amen. There are certain things been going on this day. Nobody knew anything about until they came up and found Joseph got married. Then the brethren came. You mean you married? You know? Amen. The brethren came back, but they had to separate there just long enough. God sent Joseph down there, and he took a Gentile bride. Amen. A great time of secret, as far as they was concerned. They didn't know if Joseph was dead or what. Amen. Like Brother David's brother come by here. He said, Ben, I heard you's dead. And I said, well, you know, do I look that way? You know, didn't know if he's dead or what, you know. Well, they didn't know if Joseph was dead or what, but he got him, while they thought he was dead, he's getting him a Gentile bride. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. While they thought that Jeffersonville was the only place anything going on, God's getting him a Gentile bride. Amen. Glory to God. And Paul said, I'm not going to say a whole lot about these other things. What God's done through Brother Brown, what God's done through Brother Jackson, they're great and they're good and they're wonderful, but let's take this and go with it, see? Amen, because you're only going to make them mad. You're only going to stir up a hornet's nest. And the only way the church like that can have peace is throw you out. Amen. How many see that? When they sent Paul down into Caesarea, then had the churches rest from all Judea and Samaria, and they grew, they multiplied, and they were in heavenly places. They got rid of the agitator. Amen. He weren't so much that he meant to agitate them, but just his message says God's going to include the Gentiles, and He ordained me to be the apostle to them. Well, they couldn't find that how that fit, you know. Well, God knew how it fits. A lot of people don't know where the seventh seal fit and all these things fit. Well, what fits between Revelation 10:7 and 10:8 and all that there, but somehow or another it fits. Do you get it, see? Amen, it fits. There's a little book given to, not to a lot of other folks, but to the bride. Given to the bride. Hallelujah. And that's what this is about. Paul said, I'm not going to speak a whole lot. Now, when he laid the foundation, I'm getting the foundation before I close here. He got the foundation he took, and he went all the way back and got some of the things Abraham said, some of the things Moses said, even got about Adam and Eve, and even told about the old serpent. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 2, he told about the old serpent, as old serpent beguile Eve. I fear lest you'll be beguiled from the simplicity. Amen. So he went back there and he raked all that in and used a lot of those things to lay a foundation. But he said, I laid the foundation. Hallelujah. There's 12 foundations for the walls that go around the walls of that city. Amen. They're named after the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But the bride tree was up near the throne. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, she bring forth her fruit. Amen. We're surrounded by a wall and we're secure. We can pick it up all the way from Genesis, all the way through Revelation, and know that we're not floating around on some ether wave of fanaticism, that this is the Word all the way through. Can you say amen? Now, God raised up a Pacific man. Nobody else could do it. Somebody says, why do you make a big fuss about Paul? I'm not. God did. Amen. Amen. Why do you talk about Paul? Well, Christ was manifested in Paul. Amen. He incarnated himself in Paul to the extent that Paul said, in my body I suffer and make up the things that are lacking of the suffering of Christ. He's ordained me to be a minister, this minister to carry this word. He said, I stand here in the place of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because Jesus could not go to the Gentiles. He told the woman at her daughter was sick, come heal my daughter. He said, it's not meet for me to take the children bread and give the dogs. Amen. But God's grace overrode and she done it. And Romans, the 15th chapter, 8th verse, Jesus Christ was the minister to the circumcision, confirming the covenant that's made to the Father, which were Jews. But Paul said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles, that the offering of, that believing this gospel will be the offering of the Gentiles, that they'll be acceptable unto God, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, there's one thing I want to inject in here before, as we move on swiftly. I want you to notice Peter is strangely missing from Jesus to Paul. Amen. Now, over in the Galatians 2, he's not. He's included. He's him and the other Jewish apostles. They're having a jubilee up there. Amen. But it wasn't too long till they told Paul, you go and preach the gospel to the heathens. See, but now here, it's as though that this message come from Brother Branham right straight to this. See. But there's a secret in there, in that God had another ministry coming to reveal about the brethren. Glory to God. How many see this? Amen, amen. I'll tell you, this thing ain't some ball out here rolling in the wind, no control of it. Hallelujah. God is moving. It's right straight with the Word of God. Amen. It's thus saith the Lord. Amen. The Bible, the truth, is for the bride to marry her to the Lamb. And that's what has happened. And is happening. Praise God. So, let me read on here. Notice he was the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And then he says, I will not dare to speak of those things. Now, why don't I get up and quote Brother Jackson? And I know the brethren there in Jeffersonville, Indiana, at Truth at Faith Assembly, the good brethren, probably better than I'll ever be. I probably ain't worthy to stoop down, loose their shoes, you know, or tie their shoes, or shine their shoes. But of late, I know it's Brother Jackson said, and Brother Jackson said, now in the contender, reading every point they want to prove, they'll go back and prove that Brother Jackson has previously said it, or it's in the contender, or they can back up what they'll say. They'll be sure, well, I can back up what I'm saying by what Brother Jackson said. And then they'll read what Brother Jackson said. Other groups, they'll say, I can back up what I'm saying by reading what Brother Brannan said. Amen. Well, Paul said, I'm not going to involve myself in that. Amen. I'm not going to get involved in this, that everything I say helps prove by what Brother Jackson said or Brother Brown. Come on now. I would not dare to speak of those things which God has not wrought by me. God gave me a revelation that if he ain't, I don't have a bit of business preaching. Amen. Now, when it came in the Gentile realm, Paul told Timothy, these things you've heard me minister on, so on like that. Amen. Just go forth and like that. But the point is, as it comes from the main stages, Paul did not reach back and say, Jesus said. Now, what if Paul had quoted Jesus and said, Jesus said you Gentiles was dogs, and this bread, the word, ain't fit for you dogs. It ain't even for you dogs. So I'm quoting Jesus. It ain't for you. You know what? His message would be of absolute no value. It would be counterproductive to what God raised him up to be. How many knows it? And if Paul had got saying, now Jesus, he's going to come back. And when he comes, he's going to come back and restore all things and start the millennium, all that he did. But Paul told him, the Lord himself descended heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Amen. Brought it in the spiritual realm. And he said, there's a body to be baptized into. If Peter got there and preached that at Pentecost, I don't know what they'd do for him. Hallelujah. Amen. On down the line, Paul said there's 9 spiritual gifts, and there's only 5 ministering offices for the church. And they are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and that's the leadership of the church. Well, how about the 12 apostles? Well, they had their place. The brethren that came to Jerusalem, the brethren that came down into Egypt to buy corn. See, they heard there was some corn down there somewhere or another. Somebody started no internet down there, and there's some corn, they say. It's old corn of the land. Woo! Amen. They heard there was corn there. But when they got there, they found Joseph had a wife. And they could never become the wife. The brethren can never become the wife. Now, this does not exclude an individual that God would ordain to come forth and be in the bride, but as a whole, as a group, the Jews are not the bride, they're the brethren. Amen? Praise God. All right, I'm going on with this now. I'm going to be on time and on the budget today. He said to make the full, he's preached the gospel, I'm going to pick up 19 and read. Through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about Icon, I have fully preached the gospel. Yea, then watch what he yea, so have I preached the gospel where Christ was not named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom? Now he's going right to the Gentiles, reaching back in the Old Testament, pulling another scripture. Verses 9 through 13, he does that, get the Gentiles. But here he gets one. He says here, but as it is written, to whom it was not spoken, they shall see. Amen. And they that have not heard shall understand. For this cause I also have been much hindered in coming to you. In other words, old devil hit me on every side, but here it is. Glory to God. Now, you say, shouldn't we listen to Brother Jackson? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you have to quote back up what you say by what he said, then somewhere or another you need to get a relationship with God. Because he did bring in about the city and many, many great things. But there were certain things when it came to this marriage. When it came to the Gentiles being married to Christ. When it came to Revelation 10. I will not dare speak of those things. Except what God's revealed to me. God bless you today. Amen. Now this message, it go on and on and on and on. But see, I wanted to draw a parallel for our day. Because if I put something in that day and told you what Paul done or what Peter done or what somebody done back there, what would it profit you? You've got to see, this is his word in this day and this hour. The Bible says, think on these things. Let the mind which have been Christ be in you. And you'll say, amen to every bit of this. Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity you've given us to gather together in your name. And Lord, we just praise you and bless your name. And we thank you, God, Lord, that you're still moving, that you haven't left us. Lord, that you haven't gone on the journey, that you're still speaking, that you still have men of God that you can speak through. You still have the body of Christ that you can speak to. As John says, prophesy again. It can be through any member, but the leadership's come through the fivefold ministry. And God, you're moving in this hour, and we thank you for it. Thank you for anointing us. Thank you for the wedding ceremony. Thank you for that bride that's dressed in fine linen, clean white, which is righteousness of saints, that you've given unto us, Lord, in this hour. We thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.